What a week it's been, huh? I can't help but get a little bit depressed when I read in the news the things that have gone on. It seems like sometimes we live in a pretty terrible world. I guess the only thing that we can really do is make sure that our generation leaves this world a better place than we found it. With that being said, though, a couple weeks ago, I did the homily for some classmates of mine for their wedding. And after it was over, I told my wife, I hope that I don't get asked to do any public speaking for a long time, because public speaking just stresses the heck out of me. But like probably a couple seconds after I made that statement to my wife, I get a call from Craig, and Craig texts me sometimes, you know, and it's usually pretty, you know, like, can you come help set up with Paradox? But a call is serious business these days. Like, if you get a call, there's something going on. And I look over at my wife, and I was like, he better not be asking me to preach for Paradox. And my wife's like, my wife has a lot of confidence in my public speaking skills. And she's like, he wouldn't ask you to speak for Paradox. Sure enough, he did. And I am extremely humbled to be here. I mean, we've had some truly great speakers here at Paradox. And we have even Peter Rollins speak here. You know, I think I'm going to go back home and change my Facebooks to Timothy Pruitt public figure now. That's how excited I am about this. But title today is Be Like Jesus, This Is Wrong. And I just want to start with a question. Who is your favorite childhood hero? Just name some heroes off. Favorite childhood hero?
Tim Tebow.
Power
Rangers.
Power Rangers, yes. Okay, well, for me, I grew up in the backwoods of Idaho. I didn't even have a television. I didn't know that there were such a thing as superheroes. My heroes, I didn't know that there was any other option than Bible heroes, which means I'm a little bit more holy than the rest of you, I guess. David definitely made my top 10 of my heroes list. David was the man. You know, David is probably the most embellished character in the Bible. But not only is he the most embellished, he's probably one of the least embellished at the same time. How could this possibly be, you may ask? I mean, we have David committing some amazing miracles, doing some absolutely amazing things. But we also have David doing some things that, quite honestly, if I had been writing a story about a hero for a whole nation, I would have left those stories out. I mean, for instance, we have David killing giants, David killing lions and bears with his bare hands, David killing thousands of God's enemies, David becoming what is one of what they claim to be the greatest king ever to rule, and David winning the hearts of every woman in Jerusalem. But on the other side, we have David committing adultery, David committing murder, David getting old, and as we learned several weeks ago with Craig's sermon, David losing his ability to procreate, as well as David dying ingloriously. David died on his bed, unable to practically move. Did you know that there was another David and the giant story in the Bible? To prove my point about the ingloriousness of David, David and Goliath is not the only David and giant story in the Bible. We have the story of David and Ishbibenob. Can I get an amen for that story? David and Ishbibenob. Yes, it is a fabulous story. I tried to look for a picture, but I couldn't find a picture for this spot because no artist is willing to paint it, because it's not a glorious time for David. It's right after David has experienced the death of Absalom. He is middle-aged. He goes out to fight in battle with the Philistines. And the Bible records that he becomes faint. He's weak. He can't keep up. And one of Goliath's younger, one of his sons, sees David on the battlefield and decides that it's his time to get revenge for the death of his father. And David is powerless. David has to be saved by one of his mighty men. And the Bible declares that this is the last time David ever went into battle. He lost the battle to the giant. It's not a very glorified picture of David. And this is where we pick up in 1 Kings 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. And I was pointed out that that's a very strange word. I'm using the King James Version here because I'm from Southern, and that's what we do. But it's not a very glorious picture of David here. He's old, laying in bed, dying. How many of you grew up listening to the Bible in Living Sound? Okay, so there are a few holy people in here. I listened to them. I grew up listening to the Bible in Living Sound, but I didn't have it on CD. I had it on 93 cassette tapes. Craig probably remembers when it was on 93 records, but I'm slightly younger than him, so I remember the tapes. But whenever we got to this story, I got really depressed because this is not the type of David I picture. I don't picture David dying. And every time I got to this story where it says David is laying in bed dying, I was just like, I got depressed. Because it was the ending of one of the greatest time periods in all of Scripture, when David is building the kingdom of God, destroying God's enemies and killing people. That's what I love that part of the Bible. And then we got to this part, and it was sad. I pictured David like this. This is how I want to see David. A less honorable Jon Snow. Instead of friends with giants, David kills giants. David is a rugged figure, but yet that's not where we pick up with him here. We pick up with David as an old man, dying alone. I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about this David. I want to hear about the David who was so enraged that a man would be defying the armies of the living God that he took 5 stones from a brook. He goes down into the valley. He knocks the giant clean out, cuts his head off with a sword, with the giant's own blade, and then carries the bloody dripping head back to the camp. That's the David I want to hear about. But yet the Bible doesn't start there. I heard one Christian author, or read one Christian author, who describes the opening story to David as the boy, the sweet singer of Israel, playing his harp, serenading the green rolling hills of Bethlehem. But that's not where the Bible picks up. The Bible picks up right after the anointing of David. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 18, it says, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." This is where the Bible picks up. This is long before David meets Goliath. David was already known as a mighty man of valor and a man of war, long before he ever picked up the stone to kill Goliath. David was known for his violence. You could say that David was an intense person. Some people would say no. David wasn't intense. David was bipolar. Because on one hand, you have the stories of David weeping and crying out to God. And on the other hand, you have him going and killing 200 Philistines, cutting off their penises and taking them back to Saul. That's what the story talks about. I mean, it's gruesome. How was David so different? It is no wonder that you have the women of Israel, of Israel, coming out and singing the song, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." David was practically every woman's dream, right? But that's not the most disturbing part of the story. David's violence is not the most disturbing part. The most disturbing part is found in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. It says, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which will fulfill all my law," or my will. God claims that David is a man after his own heart, a man full of purpose-driven anger and wrath and extremes of emotion is God's representative. How is this possible? And if this is your first time in church today, or the first time in a long time, first off, we want to extend the welcome to you. We are extremely glad you're here. But you might be asking yourself, this is what is wrong with religion. This is why I left in the first place. If God is like David, I want nothing to do with him. And you'd be right to say that. But I want to propose to you that David is not a man after God's own heart because of his violence. David is a man after God's own heart in spite of his violence. And I'll explain that to you here. I can claim this because there's a story. King Saul was not very happy with David at this time in his life. He kind of wanted to get rid of him. So he brings him in and he says, David, I think you would make a great man for my wife, for my daughter. Because that's what fathers do when they hate someone, right? And he says, if you just go out and you kill 100 Philistines for me, I will give you my daughter's hand in marriage. So David goes out. He takes his mighty men. He kills not 100, but 200. He cuts off their foreskins. This is the story I was referring to before. Brings it back to Saul and gives it to Saul as proof that he had accomplished what Saul sent him out to do. David did not do this because of the glory of God. David did not do this because God was with him. David did this for love. This is the type of person David was. It is not, David was not filled by the Spirit in order to do this. Picture for me the most hardened special forces operative, or perhaps the most violent Marine. Now picture that Marine as having extreme emotion, of being able to weep, of loving poetry, of singing the praises of God. And you kind of get a picture of what the Bible is trying to give us of who David was. And that brings us back to Acts chapter 13, verse 22. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David, and my most favorite part about the story of David, it used to be all these stories of how valiant he was. My favorite part is not about that anymore, though. My favorite part is this, in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, that David was a man after God's own heart. David, a man who had anger, purpose-driven anger, extremes of emotion, who committed murder, mass genocide, and adultery. This man is considered to be a man after God's own heart. Does that mean that God is okay with this? Is God supportive of this? Does God have extremes of emotion? Is he fickle? Is he driven to anger? I want to propose to you today that that is not the God that is talked about here in Scripture. The God I see here in Scripture is a God who looked down at this world with all of its violence, all of its useless anger, its racism, its sexism. He looked down at this world and he thought that it was worthwhile. He looked down at this world and he thought that possibly there was something here that was still worthwhile after all of that mess. There's a song that goes, the refrain goes something like this: be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng, be like Jesus all day long, I would be like Jesus. We often have this idea that God does not want us to be like who we are. God wants us to be something else. God is calling us to be something else. And we think, if only I could have the bravery of David, the passion of Solomon, the boldness of Paul, and the meekness of Christ. If only I could have that, I would be a good person. But God doesn't say that. God took David as he was, and he made him into something great. Did David make mistakes? Yeah. David was a terrible person. But because of the type of person that David was, those extremes of emotion, God was able to do something with him that is quite amazing. The Psalms that we have because of David are quite amazing. We have Psalms like Psalms 51, verse 10 through 12 that says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. It's beautiful. And that is all because of the type of person David was. God does not want you to be like your pastor. As awesome as Craig Hadley is, we can all agree. God does not want you to be like Mother Teresa. And I know Craig is getting a big head now that he's right next to Mother Teresa here. But God does not want you to be like David. In fact, God does not even want you to be like Jesus. It does not mean that God, that we cannot strive to have these characteristics of these people, that we cannot desire to have some of these characteristics. But we cannot miss the point that what God is asking of us is ourselves. We cannot begin to understand the character of God in all of its facets until we start to understand each other, and most importantly, when we start to understand ourselves. God simply desires you. Are you a violent person? God desires a friendship with you. Are you emotional and soft? God still desires a relationship with you. Are you indifferent? God desires a relationship with you. Do you enjoy adventure? Do you love business and making money? Are you in love with nature? Do you love power and leadership? Do you have extremes of emotions? Is risk something you love? Are you a timid person, afraid of even driving on the highway? Are you black? Are you white? Are you gay, straight, female, or male? No matter what type of person you are, God desires you. God did not change David into something that David was not. But God did take a violent young man, and he used those extremes of emotion to accomplish some truly great things. I love David because in David I see myself. And in David I see every single living human being today. In David we gain a deeper understanding of what God wants from us. He wants to be our friend. He meets you where you are. He does not change who you are. He does not ask you to lose your identity in order to join him. The real question here now comes down to, will you allow your personality to truly change the world that we live in today? Or will you allow your personality to be wasted by a world that doesn't really care for it? Thank you.